Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the arch of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is make the leader in you come alive.
Welcome to the show. You're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric. Well, thanks for joining us, friends. No matter if you're the coach or the player, or the first or third stream, no matter the role, you have a purpose. You're a leader in that purpose. Our goal is simple, to inspire and equip all to lead where they are. In other words, get us on cue with God's will, on cue with his calling in our lives, which is our purpose, and get others on cue with that purpose. What is cue? It's how Nehemiah, a model transformational leader, led a starved, desperate, isolated people in building a wall and closing the gaps around ancient Jerusalem. He C-U-E them up. C stands for finding common ground. What is the why? What we can agree on? Why we come together? U is a unified thought. What vision can we share together? The what, as we said. And E, equally yoked, is how. It's what is the game plan? What success look like? What's the role in it? What are we going to intend to do together? So Q leadership in general integrates biblical principles of leadership using Nehemiah as a model and helping you doing two things. One, get people to trust you. Two, get people to follow you. Trust and discipleship is the very, very axis of leadership. As we always do, we like to start our show with a prayer. So Lord, the powerful, merciful, living God, we thank you for this day, and Lord, lead and bless this ministry and our audience and all that are serving you. Lord, we know that this Q leadership is your brainchild, our calling in your name. We honor you today by doing two things. One, giving you the glory, and two, serving this generation through Q. Lord, your word shares in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Lord, use this ministry to complete that purpose, to align and equip and transform to new leaders for your glory. Help others hear the call and receive this call and raise some true transformational leaders and gatekeepers in Christ's name. Amen. So what to expect from our time today? As we always do, we like to have a dialogue, a conversation about leadership based in God's word to equip leaders with a roadmap to tap into faith in order to building trust in building the discipleship. We try to highlight everyday leaders who are making a difference that can testify to God's goodness, who are being transformation in their own sphere of influence. Our show is a lot of things, but it's not to criticize, but shine some light on truth and love. Not to tell you what to do, but provide a different lens in order to see things. And it's not to focus on mere symptoms of a problem, but get to the root of the problem. In a sense, treat the infection, not the runny nose. So as with today, as with any day, we ask you to be open, and we pray that the Lord we hear the Lord and not us, have the right questions, and no matter what the differences may be, let's remember that this life is about love and surrender. And there will be differences of opinions, of course, but let us do what a true transformation leader said. Let's agree without being disagreeable and be thought partners and have a fruitful dialogue as we go through our show today. So today, Tim Tebow, former Heisman Trophy winner, first-round draft choice by the Denver in 2010. Tebow is now 27. Last played with the New York Jets in 2012 and was in camp, training camp last year, New England Patriots. When you hear that name, what's the first word come to mind? Just think about it for a second. Tim Tebow. Could be Heisman Trophy winner. Could be Florida Gator. Now Philadelphia Eagle, Tebow time, or even Tebow mania. So he is back. You know, signed this week with Philadelphia Eagles. USA Today reports that Eagles signed him a one-year contract, about $660,000 a year, no signing bonus, no guarantee, and basically paid in weekly installments during the season and so forth. If he's cut before the season's out, he's owed nothing. Then the standard stipend that get it each and every day from workouts and as well as to attending training camps. Even from the perspective, he gets injured. His salary gets, and he lands himself on the injury reserve. His salary gets cut in half, and he's competing for a backup role for the Eagles with the starter Sam Bradford and presumed backup number two Mark Sanchez. At the end of the day, though, he really has nothing to lose but everything to gain. So this signing, in a sense, has raised a host of questions. How would Tibor fare after 2 years of being out from the game? What role does the coach Kelly see for him? Will he be embraced by the tough fans in Philly? Because Philly has some tough fans there. Or how many quarterbacks do the Eagles really need? And they have 5 right now, 3 of whom have started NFL games. And this news somewhat resuscitates Tim Tebow's NFL career, but it also resuscitates the other words from fans and players, non-fans on radio, social media, and even down to barbershops in everyday conversation. These words come terrible, awful. Even I've seen worst quarterback ever, bad mechanics. I've even seen clown. And even this word that just peeks out is hate. And hate seems to be the most popular word that I've seen. I didn't realize the amount of hate and frustration over this, the Tebow mania, the infection in the NFL, and this, which is basically on social media. There, I come to find that there's some dedicated Facebook pages with one aim in mind, to hate Tim Tebow. You can find them. There's Tebow Haters Unite. There's Tim Tebow Haters Club of America, and then there's one, I Hate Tim Tebow. And I was surprised at that and when I saw that. But the question is why? So why are so people so full of hate and want Tebow to fail and insist on making fun of him? Which leads to our question today, why everybody hates Tim? You know, looking for answers, though, I ran across this article that outlines and some reasons that I was trying to muster. But this article by Linda Mental of Belief.com really just explained and hit on all the points I was trying to put together. So she posted it in 10 reasons for Tim Tebow hate. It's outlined some great nuggets that we're going to discuss. But helping us with that through those 10 questions, also answering our question of the day, why everybody hates Tim, is our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson Jr. He's a former NFL lineman for the Raiders and the Rams and a former star right tackle for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He himself has a testimony of being a champ and even an inmate, and even a fighter against the rising tides of all sorts of life's obstacles, drugs, poverty, bad decisions, and yes, even doubt from the naysayers. And if you have a child, you have anyone of age during the break, please go get them. You have to listen to this brother because he has lots of nuggets of wisdom, not only just for this topic, but just for life in general. So don't miss it. So after the break, we'll start our dialogue with our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson Jr. We'll answer our question of the day, why does everybody hates Tim? So during the break, stay with us, call us, log into and share your thoughts. Our number here is 310-861-2331. To ask a question, press 1 on your telephone, and that raises your hand virtually, and Kennedy can bring you into the conversation. You're also welcome to log into our live chat room to share more of what's on your mind. Kennedy also can bring you into discussion that way as well. Chris, we'd love to hear from you. Please call us at 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us and listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends, to help you lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will and his calling in our lives. So today's question, why everybody hates Tim? We're talking about Tim Tebow, who's just signed with the Philadelphia Eagles. Helping us with that is our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson, Jr. He's a former NFL lineman himself for the Raiders and the Rams, former star tackle for Alabama Crimson Tide. He's been on our show. He's a special friend of On Cue. He has a great testimony in so many different ways as a champ, as an inmate, as a fighter against all sorts of rising tides and obstacles, and even to the point of doubt and naysayers' ability to compete as well. So let's give a virtual round of applause. Brother Roosevelt, welcome.
Thank you for having me on again, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here in the midst of all the listeners out there on On Cue Radio, and special with you too, bro.
And I appreciate it.
It's an honor.
It's an honor for us, and I thank you for coming back on, and of course from a short notice perspective. But last time was definitely a joy. I've been getting a lot of demands for you for a long time.
Well,
I'm glad you're back, right? Have you back.
Well, that's great. That's great.
You know, thanks again. You know, we're going to try to jump right in as we always do. And those who hadn't listened to you before, you know, you can always go into our website or to Blog Talk Radio and look at Roll Tide, Rising Against the Tide. And that testimony in itself is so impactful, and it's one of our best shows in the last almost 90 shows we've done so far. And as we always do, to get the audience who haven't heard from you, brother, is to give them a little bit of sense of about you, as we always start our show with the same two questions. You know, starting with the first one, what is that one word that describes you?
One word that describes Roosevelt, just a humble guy, humble giant.
Humble giant.
Yeah, that's the humble giant, man. That's it, you know. So you just don't piss the giant off, but I'm humble.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if I can say that one word, I am humble and grateful that the Lord has really humbled me, and that's what I act for, man. Just being humble and being open minded with a lot of people I encounter, and just to try to give them the best wisdom that I can, that I receive from, and that's straight from God and not from Roosevelt himself.
Amen.
So it's just it's great to be a vessel and to be standing and still learning daily, and things are falling off daily that we do not need for ourself and for our soul, but the flesh is always asking for more. But we know the inner man, that the one that oversees everything, that's correct for us getting into the kingdom of God. So that's me.
That's you, and it starts with the heart, just moving forward, always denying yourself each and every day.
That's right.
You know, related to that, in that using you as a vessel, if money was no issue, what would you do every day? What would your vessel do every day?
Man, I would, as of right now, be helping other people, man. You know what I'm saying? That's because, you know, I believe in helping someone that's not fortunate to me, and knowing that it's better to give, you know what I'm saying, to receive anything, you know, and money, you know, answer all things. But if it weren't for money, I'd still be helping folks. You know, that's just in my blood and trying to share the goodness of what God has done for me and what I learned from my parents to treat, you know, people with respect and treat them like I want to be treated. So if I had to say that, that would be the key. You know, it's just helping people.
Helping people. You know, that's interesting. I'm going to take a quick detour for a second. That's interesting where we always hear, especially when people like yourself and even others get a chance to go to the NFL and people will say that, oh, money changed them, right? But I believe money just makes you more of what you already are. Would you agree with that, or what's your perspective? And to your point of you'll just do, even money is no issue, you'll still be doing, helping folks. Is there any credence to that point?
I would say for us, probably like you're saying, money, you know, it. And, you know, only thing money does for me is for a change of a better living, way of living, you know, the house, the dream that I always want, maybe the car, and mostly make sure my kids, you know, getting taken care of, getting the things that I never got and give them the opportunity, only if they're being obedient and doing what's right for us, is by my house rule and doing right by what lies ahead for them in school and what's learning. You know, money solves everything. We all know that. You know, money is the root of all evil. It's all depending on how you use the money. And I believe me, just that we talk about on the subject of money, where I've come to live and learn about money. When you have money, you'll be able to help people not fortunate of you. You know, you'll be able to give back, and God will bless you more abundantly the more you give. And then you'll get it more abundantly, man. He'll open up the windows of heaven, man, and pour down on you. And,
amen.
You know, like I said, but money, and that's the only thing, if I said with money for me, you know, that's the only thing, be able to travel, do what I want, you know, see the world. But, you know, from being in the NFL and as a single guy at the time, you know, but right now I have a family, you know, money just only make sure I'm taking care of my kids and make sure that I'm paying the bills on time. And that's the only thing I can say for is money would do for me. It will only bring more attention to you. People will try to get closer to you, but you got to stay prayed up and ask God to which way to lead you with the things that he gave you ability to receive that money. And I'm a true believer. If you're in a position where it's money, you got money that's on top of money, as saying, man, you be able to go out there and help the less fortunate. And that's why you always see a lot of people always going up the ladder, because God is blessed. And we never know what people are doing behind closed doors. That's between them and God. The more you give, the more you know what I'm saying, you'll receive.
Amen. Well, thanks for sharing that. You know, related to all of these things, you know, we all go through our own seasons of things, right? From having it, not having it, using it, misusing it, or whatever. You know, let the audience know, you know, I still want them to go back and listen to the old show, but I want to give them a little bit more, and I just want to allow you to give them whatever you want to give about you personally and your background, how far you've come. Even taken from the story of going to the NFL and issues and so forth, spending time in prison, those types of things. Can you give folks a notion of that and how the Lord moved you one condition to the next?
Well, I can tell you, for us, me being growing up in Pritchett, Alabama, being a graduate of CFFI High School on the back-to-back, 87-88 champion. Now we're in the Hall of Fame here in Mobile, Alabama, the whole team. And God moved me on to the University of Alabama to win championships and to my dream to always play for the University of Alabama. And the next thing was God moved me to the NFL and to live out my long dream as a little boy to make it to the NFL. All these things, God had these things prepared for me. With me knowing for us I was doing good or bad, he still blessed me in the midst. Thank God for my praying mother, my father.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got older, you know, we have a tendency going out there and let the world try to, you know, lead us when we should be letting God lead us. And I got out there and let the world lead me in the wrong direction, and it ended me in know, during 5 years in federal prison, after my college and my profession in NFL afterwards, and I end up going to prison for 60 months for a conspiracy to with intent to distribute cocaine, and mm-hmm. and that wasn't the, really wasn't me. And, you know, I had my own things. I was doing drugs, wasn't doing anything to try to get rich. It was a hobby, as to speak, for us. I seen other guys I knew was doing it, and it was just something that I picked up. And my
right.
mom and dad always stressed that, you know, that was the road to go. And it landed me in prison. But after all that, God turned that whole thing around, and I'm still, I could say, ministering every day. I'm currently now working at Murphy High School, and I worked at Vine High School, where I coached the offensive line, where I played and won one as a champion, a 5A champion as a coach and coaching the offensive line. So God has truly blessed me. He has turned that thing around. I'm still ministering to kids daily now at Mobile County, you know what I'm saying, a public school system I'm working now, to let them know, because there's so much out there now to let them know. And it's a real lenient task, I guess, for us, you know, putting God out there. But I have no fear about that. I'm going to tell things about God. Even in school, you know, they just have to put me out, and God, he's been supplying me thus far at today. I'm still going to put him first.
Amen.
So that's a little bit about Roosevelt, man, and what my ministry, what I'm doing. It's a daily thing, you know, and I have to encourage myself to do things right and for as I can help others.
Yeah,
and,
so...
It's just a thing for us being equipped, you know what I'm saying, with the right mind, and have the Holy Spirit, and having God to lead you. Because we'll have a tendency to get in ourselves, because flesh is weak. You know, we ain't going to be all we holy and doubt every day. It's one of those things where we got to fall down on knees and ask and repent daily of things that we do. You know, we're getting taught every day something new. I learn something new every day. So
yeah.
it's like now I've been coached by a lot of great coaches in my past, for us in football, and that status. Now in the rim now, I'm asking God to coach me up so I can win that great championship at the end when it's like, you know, passing on by, and I can be able to be in the kingdom with God.
It's truly
a blessing to be in a place where God placed me. And that's in Murphy High School, to help these youngsters and tell them about, you know, all these other various things they going through. I can help them and tell them which way to go, because it's our responsibility to tell them the way to go and not them to tell us which way to go, because we have traveled the road before them and we want them to do better than what we've done. And
you,
I tell the kids,
so right.
I tell kids that every day. I want you to do great in what I do, you know, done. You know, I tell them all the time, I'm not boasting and bragging, but you can Google me, and it'll bring up all my stats. So if I Google you, nothing come up. But I'm
mm-hmm.
trying to tell you, for us to be productive, if you do what's right daily and do the right thing and get all the learning material that you need to get for us in, to exceed in life, you know, take advantage of all these teachers and all these classes. Everybody's not going to college. Everybody's not going to the pros. But you have all these different trades you can take up right now. So I'm just thankful I can be able to share with these kids and these young men, mostly the men's, because we're losing a lot of these great young black men's and whatever come across me, and young ladies, not having a good foundation and structure to tell them which way to go. And not
right.
them telling us which way to go.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's so important now, Roosevelt, where, you know, sports is such a big influence on kids in all sorts of places, especially in the communities that you're serving. And at the same time, you're there sharing your testimony and helping them make right decisions and accountability, be accountable for those decisions, especially in the midst of some of the negative things that are happening, where well, we see Aaron Hernandez, or even we saw the whole notion with Bruce Jenner of
mm-hmm.
transitioning from one sex to the other. You know, these are the type of things that you're talking about, right?
That's correct. That is truly correct. You know, like you said, there's so much going on in the world today, and a lot of people, as they looking, They're looking in the wrong places for the right answer. The right answer is in that book, and that's that Holy Bible. You got to be somewhere upon a man of God that's preaching, you know, true on a Dutch, on a true, the true living word of God, because his word is going to stand, and everything else is going to fail. So it's our job to put these youngsters and whoever crosses our path, you know, we need sharpening ourselves, iron sharpening iron. And we're supposed to sharpen each other up and not putting one another down. But, you know, in this case, you know, in this world, you're going to have the negative and you're going to have the positive. Either you're going to stay on one side and do positive, or you're going to do negative, or you're going to straddle the fence and it's going to spark fire. One's going to lead to destruction, one's going to lead to winning. So which one you want to stay, which one you want to be? You got to look in the mirror and say, look, I'm going to be positive with myself. I'm going to be positive with others. You can't be negative with yourself, then try to be positive with somebody else. That's no good combination.
Right.
You got to stay, positive.
You bring us even to the point of why we're here today to talk about Tim Tebow, right? We talk about all these things, and we talk about what you're doing in the community, fighting the me-now culture, as we talked about, keeping us idle, where we know it is definitely the spirits that are driving a lot of these decisions amongst all of us, not just our kids. But what your message is, stand on the word. But then when these kids see someone standing on the word, like a Tim Tebow, but still get ridiculed, regardless of his talent and so forth, you know, how do you battle that? How do you manage around that? What do you say?
Well, love conquers all. You know what I'm saying? Love conquers hate. And everybody, you know, hating on Tebow. But, you know, they all hated Christ in the beginning for what he stood for. So if you're going to stand for Christ, man, the world, if they hated him, they're going to hate you too. So it's from the beginning of time, and from what the word say, hey, they hated me, so they're going to hate you. So if you stand firm for what I believe and what's true, hey, they're going to keep on hating you. So I really truly believe Tebow is a believer, and he stands firm. And I commend the brother on standing firm in what he believes in. It's a free country. You got a lot of these, you know, the Antichrist, and you got all these demonic spirits that's out there, and they're seeing this young man right here is putting Christ first. They don't want to see that.
Right.
But for him, that's why the doors are opening up for him in this situation, what he's finna become now. Because, he's finna be rewarded for standing strong, for doing everything right by God and not by man. That's why that door is opening up for him right now.
No doubt. You know,
everybody have their due season in times.
They're going to have their due season, my friend. You took the words out of my mouth, you know. And you're going to have some struggles. You're going to have some failures.
He's going to still
struggle. But it's about how you respond to it and get you a second chance, right?
That's right. It's how you respond. Okay, I'm going to give you another chance at this, and let's see what you do now. That's where you look at it. You know, God gave him another chance. And truly, I believe that's what he been wanting. So, okay, God said, okay, Tim, here you go. I'm finna put you over here in Philadelphia. Now, we know this a crew area. They got some rude fans in Philadelphia. We know they bad out there. Okay, I'm finna see, can you stand this? So I just believe, being a believer and agreeing with, hey, it's his season. And nobody can do nothing about that. Nobody.
Amen. I love it. Yeah, we're going to take a quick break right here, and we're going to pick back up talking about Tim, and we got some reasons why people hate Tim. We're going to go through a few of those with our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson Jr., who continue to help us answer our question, why everybody hates Tim. So during the break, stay with us. Log on to with your thoughts at 310-861-2331 to ask a question. Press 1 on your telephone, which is raise your hand virtually, and Kennedy can bring you into the conversation. Also, feel free to log into our live chat room, where we can also bring you to discussion as well. Friends, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated.
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the cue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
For staying with us, you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, friends, our mission here is simple, to help you leave where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. Today's question, it's around Tebow mania, Tebow time. He's back in the NFL, and our question of the day is, why everybody hates Tim? Helping us with that is our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson Jr., former NFL lineman for the Raiders and the Rams, and also star right tackle for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He's here with a phenomenal testimony, and he is helping us to answer this question of the day. Roosevelt, thanks for staying with us.
Oh, Ryan, it's a pleasure being here on Q Radio Session with Eric Powell.
Amen, brother. Amen. You know, always, I was telling Kennedy before the break, I was sitting here thinking about, imagine, you know, all of us being on the same team at some point, you know, from my brothers, cousins, and everything, everybody else. Just kind of thinking about all of us in one spot. Being able to, we can only dream about that now, right?
I know we can only dream, man. But thank God we've been there. We're successful.
And, right,
you know, to
right.
God be the glory, man, and all of us in history, you know.
So amen. I'm gonna put a plug at my big brother. I know he's probably listening, but he'll be carrying the water right now. So that's with us being out there.
He's gonna give right.
You know, before the break. We were talking about Tebow getting his next chance, and you took the words right out of my mouth. It's his due season. He's prayed up. He's getting his second chance. Lord's thrown him in a thicket of where there's a lot of uncertainty. Five different quarterbacks. One of the toughest set of fans there is in any sport for Philadelphia. They'll love you and they hate you all in the same time. And, you know, as I was going through this, brother, I was trying to figure out, you know, why all the hate? After I saw all the different websites and as well as Facebook page dedicated to hating Tim Tebow, and I know why. We touched on it before the segment, but I wanted to really find some of those reasons. But then I ran across this great article, and I want to give them credit for Linda Mental of BeliefNet.com. She posted 10 reasons recently for Tim Tebow hate, and it outlined some great nuggets, and I want to discuss those with you. We're going to go through those, and I want to really walk through them and get your perspective on those. That's okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Absolutely. So the first one she said, people who enjoy seeing others fall usually attack others to feel good about themselves. Healthy people take joy in success of others. What do you think about that when you hear that?
People who enjoy seeing others fail, you attack others to feel good about themselves.
Right.
I don't know. Something they really hate this guy, maybe one of his team that he beat or something.
You know what I mean? People like to see him fail, right? In a lot of sense. And the reverse of that, you know, when you have someone, healthy people, you know, how the difference between those who take joy in success of others versus those who take failure, you know, take joy in seeing someone fail. What's the difference between those two types of people?
Man, those two type of people, man. The healthy people love to see people success for us. Man, that's a good one right there, bro. That goes back to me saying for us positive and negative. You're going to stay positive or, you know, you're going to have the negative, you know. And I believe the negative people want you to just to be the ones with them, you know, just not doing anything, not being on top, not being in front, so to speak, you know, and from the headlines, you know. Some people tend to have that could be me, take the place of Tim Tebow. For us to help the people, you know, they're going to just take joy in it and rejoice, and like they right there doing it themselves. Because, you know, the words are, you know, hey, we see you. If I see Eric doing good, Lord bless you, I'm going to rejoice with you. Because my blessing is, I'm next in line. I'm rejoicing like I got a, if you got a big old family, I'm going to rejoice with you. My family coming later, you know what I mean? So I believe that comes back to the same, you know, if you're going to stay positive, stay positive. You're going to, you know, stay negative, stay over there and stay negative then, you know.
Right. So it also leads to the second point she said. People are jealous and incredibly insecure. How right was she on that?
People are jealous. You know, some people are, you know, be jealous and envy other people that how they do see they be on top, you know. And some people are insecure. You know, they go back, you know, this she entitled to, so these are her opinions or what she writing on for us, the 10 reasons or whatever about Tebow. But, you know, you're going to have the naysayer and you're going to have the yaysayer. So, that just goes back to still me staying positive, negative. I can truly say that, I believe.
It's totally two different people, right?
That's two different people still, you know?
Absolutely, you know, absolutely. You know, it's also another point that I know where I heard this from his pastor here in DFW, can't remember where, but it's ultimately where, you know, why try to hinder somebody else's blessing, right?
Okay, either through that's right.
Or so forth. You know, how I don't know if the dangerous is the right word but how harmful is that? You know, trying to get in front of, tear down somebody else's blessing, the Lord can bless them. Can you talk about that?
Man, that is, you know, you just have to wait your season, man. If you're doing good to, you know, for us towards yourself and helping others, you know, I think that's really a danger. You know, you got to touch not my anointing, all us of his children. You know, if you're taking, stand strong in his word, you know, or for us, you carrying our God's ministry. You know, you can't touch them people like that, man. You know, things are happening to you bad if you keep bad-mouthing people. Because words, you know, hey, words carry a lot.
The word tells us don't touch my anointed ones, right? So
that's right, don't touch my anointed one, you know. And that just, I ain't talking about the pastor. He got so many of us out here so anointed. So I had to learn that, man, you know what I'm saying? Hey, man, I belong to God. You keep on bad-mouthing me. Hey, right. I'm gonna just let him. I'm gonna let him fix it. I can't fix it.
Let him fight your battles.
There you go. Because he, at the end of the day, the battle already won. Because he knows the beginning and the end. So, hey, you winning with Christ if you just stand firm and keep God first. You're gonna win. It's awesome to know that God knows the beginning and the end. He already knows what's the beginning for your future, where you're gonna start and where it's gonna end. It's totally up to you to keep Him first and asking Him and keep Him in the equation of your life daily. So my thing is, like I said before, the people, some of these people, man, you got some people that saying they're some believers. Believe in God, but you got some people that truly don't have the Holy Spirit. See, you really need that. That's what you really need, the Holy Spirit to teach you and guide you. Because if you had the Holy Spirit, you ain't going to have a lot of like, jealousy in you and all that, you know, talking about it. You're going to rejoice and keep on saying, okay, man, go on, do your thing.
You hit on something right there now. That's something that a lot of folks don't realize, right? It is. When you have that, it just changes you. It makes you over, right? You have that.
Yeah,
Holy Spirit.
It makes you over. You gotta be made over again, man. You know, my pastor just talked about this today. Pastor Albert Petway, man, he just talked about you gotta be rebaptized again in the Holy Spirit, man. It's like it's taking you to another elevate, you know, like going to or getting on the elevator. You know, you gotta go to the 12th floor, you know, you gotta go 1, 2, 3, 4. So in your stage of life, you gotta keep on asking the Holy Spirit to baptize you and change you and convert you in what's right and being renewing your mind and being like Christ Jesus. So a lot of people, you know, there's some believers, but you still need the Holy Spirit, man. See, that's what we're fighting against out here now with these different spirits. If you ain't got the right spirit, you ain't going to be led in the right position. Now,
yeah,
we know
how
the enemy.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You know, to your point, though, which leads to the third point that Ms. Mento put in place where – it says Tim Tebow raised the standard and makes people uncomfortable. And that standard is the Holy Spirit, right?
There you go. That's it. And see, God, that's the way I believe God is taking that young man. He's raising him up. He keep on standing. Keep on. Whatever you, when you stand for God, can't nobody tear you down. Nobody. I don't care who it is. You know. You got all the persecuted. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can steal. But guess what? At the end of the day, you still winning with Christ Jesus. And I believe this joker. He's winning, man. And it makes a lot of people uncomfortable. That's why they talking about it. Hey, just be grateful. This young man is a believer. He know who made him. He know who opened them doors up. And he gonna keep on giving God the glory.
Right. Giving God the glory. You know, which is related to the fourth one, where the people are intolerant. They don't agree with his pro-life stance and belief in Jesus. Those two points are related, right? Where it makes people uncomfortable,
right.
So therefore they're going to be intolerant of it. Drag him
down. That's correct. That's why you're going to have your positive and your negative. The negative,
mm-hmm.
the ones, you know what I'm saying, are not are for you and they ain't for God. They might say they are, but they for that other demon. And that's Lucifer, the devil himself. You got to be careful because he'll reward you with some things, but it's going to be short term. Everything you do for God is going to be long term. So which one you want to take? Long term
which
or short
one you want to take? You know, it's a... I want to take a point right here, just a detour just for a second, brother. It's where, you know, standing for Christ doesn't necessarily, there's some suffering that comes with that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can you talk about some of that suffering and how we continue to stand through that and what's the outcome through that suffering? Because it's important. It's important for
man, it only, you know, for me. You know, and the choices that I made in life just go by choices. You know, you got a choice. Either you're going to do good or you're going to do bad. Everything you do for God is going to last. You know, some things I did for that enemy out there, you know what I'm saying, it was a short term. It ended me in prison. So everything that I've been doing now since I've been reborn again and knowing that Christ is my Savior, my Lord, my Alpha and Omega, I'm going to stand for him because he's been opening up doors that no man can shut before me. So he's opening up the doors. So that's one thing you got to come in your mind, and it come with growth, one thing, and wisdom. So if you ain't willing to grow, you know, it's something wrong. We're not talking about your age, and we talking about spiritually, because we know he suffered. Just he suffered for all. He all put it like this: God already paid the price for us.
Amen.
He already did that on the cross.
Amen.
He did.
Made us.
So it's up to us now to take up the cross and just follow him.
Wow. And going back to the point of following him, and even going to you're in community, making an impact, telling your testimony, telling your story each and every day, and really making an impact in so many different ways. There's a lot of circumstances come up, not only just people in sports and other things, and even sometimes ourselves, but the fifth point where it says the American media has no problem making fun of Christians, right? And it bewilders me because most of everyone in America is Christian, but then you have most of them making fun of themselves. Help me with that. Help me reconcile that if you can. Can it be reconciled?
Well, the only thing I can tell you, I'm still going to relate back and stand on the word, and as far as the media and other people are making fun of Christians, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's going to be some repercussion of things that we go through. But the good Lord said this: I am holy, so ye also will be holy. So that's one thing as Christians, they don't believe. Everybody might be a Christian, but are you holy? Are you holy? Have you been baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost? So that's just me saying for my one self, you got to have the Holy Spirit, man. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you lost. And that's where it's going to come a time where people in these different behaviors and the way they looking at you, see, that they ain't got the Christ. They ain't got the real deal inside of them. They got the other demon. They done picked up some of these bad demonic spirits that the devil is trying to trick you and to lure you to do things for him. And see, that's right. What's really going on, because he poking fun. He going to the Father. See, I told you, the devil can come and try to put something in your mind, and knowing that you're doing right for Christ. And then he said he'll probably tell you, "Oh, you selling out, you're a sucker." You might go through some hard times. And then he can come to you, "Okay, God, where your God at now?" But you got to stand still. You got to stand still. And I believe for us in this position right here, Tebow stood still. Now the world is seeing what God can do. Hey, God done gave this. He the only one made that door open for that young man and the people in Philadelphia, whoever the good Lord told him, "Hey, go get Tebow." He made that happen.
He made that
that's
happen.
That's why I can see for us in my sight of being a believer. You know, you gonna have some people talk about you. Okay, go ahead, talk about me as much as you want. The more you talk, I'm gonna stay on my knees. I don't know if you remember that song. The more you talk about me, I'm just gonna stay on my knees. So I believe that brother right there been on his knees and some more praying folk for him.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
If we as Christian, we gotta ask God and go before God and get on our knees and ask him, "Hey, help that brother out." Because that's what we're supposed to be doing for one another.
No doubt. Because even when Christ was in his anguish, he just prayed more earnestly.
He prayed earnestly. He was, "Hey, while you was taking me even on the cross, man, hey, you can't save me." We you can think about, Jesus had the power. He could have got himself down.
No doubt.
He had all the power. But he had to go through some things for us. He paid the price. He already paid the price for us. He took that on the cross, man. So he's no more alone on the cross. He's sitting above now, So you got to be and have to be born again to know really and stay in the word, because persecution is coming. towards, if we stand for God, you get ready for it now. You got some real demons finna come after you. Because you standing for God.
Yeah, believe me. We definitely know when you stand. It happens each and every day. It can be from friend or foe. It can be anybody.
Whatever it may be. Anybody.
Yeah, anybody.
That's right.
You know which also relates to the point of in this, not only are you just talking about the media, but if what we're going through right now, where we see what he's going through right now, where we see the Facebook pages, the websites, the articles and so forth, and the sixth point to Ms. Mental was people are judgmental. They're judgmental of what he's doing, and really in a sense, because their beliefs don't match his.
Mm-hmm.
And they go on to the attack. You know, talk about that, and then how would someone, you know, stand and fight those attacks? Give our audience a perspective on not only your thoughts, but how you did it as well.
Man, the way I did it, man, you know, I have people, you know, I believe, you know, for us and what I went through, for us, the imprisonment, and the devil had me tricked, saying that I wasn't going to get no job, I wasn't going to do anything. This is just what the enemy had tried to put before my mind. But I had to stay in God's word, and I had to stay around positive people. I had to stay with believers. I had to stay with some good, strong, praying people. Because mm-hmm. thank God, I know my mama was praying for me and other people that I met along the way of my life. When I did get out, people was praying. Even if they didn't believe me, they told me they was praying for me. Because the only way Roosevelt made it was keeping God first and asking him which way to go. My mom and dad did all they can for me to raise me, but it truly take a village to, you know, raise a family and having positive people in your life. If you have somebody's not doing, you know, I could have easily been in a gang member or something like that, but that's just what I was raised. That's I don't have that inside of me. I don't have that doing everybody bad. That's not inside of me. You have other people, you know, misery love company. You have somebody doing something bad and they not doing good, they're gonna want you to be in the same boat they in.
Right.
So my thing is, Tebow stood in the boat, and a lot of people, you have a lot of people jump ship, but he stood right there on the boat. if you can kind of know what I'm talking about, for being on the boat, man, you got to stay in the boat.
Right.
With Jesus. You know, sometimes when they get a little rocky, it's just like going back to the word. Hey, in the beginning when they was out there in the sea and it was rocking, Jesus was down there sleeping. they were saying it's going to be a shipwreck. How a man going to be up down there sleeping? And the ship that's going down, he come up and tell, hold on now. He's going to tell the wind to see. So you got to know, if Jesus did, I got the power too to come up and say, hold up. God, now you're going to have to cease this wind. You're going to cease this storm in Jesus' name. And you begin everything. You'll start seeing things manifest right before your eyes of what you're speaking. But you got to stay positive.
Right. And
if you say negative things.
In that storm, you know, you have to be expecting to come out of it as well, right?
You're going to come out of it. Yeah, you expect the great things to come out of the storm. You're going to weather the storm. You got to go through. If you don't, this is my thing right here, come to believe. Now, I'll listen to Roosevelt passages. This is what I come to believe for my one self. Jesus was tempted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you think you get up in the morning, you ain't going to be tempted?
right.
You're gonna
or
be
even
tempted,
attacked,
man.
Right?
I'm talking about attack. You're gonna be ridiculed. They spit on the man. They pierced them in the side. So what think you ain't gonna get hit in the side with something? What makes you think they ain't gonna hit you with something? So
right.
you gotta gird up your loins and be. And all this, I want y'all to hear me. I'm speaking to my one self right now. You got to stay girded up your loins. You got to have the breastplate of righteousness. You got to keep God first. If you don't, you're just a dead body walking spiritually.
Mm.
You'll be in the dark.
Mm.
You'll be in the dark.
Talking about the full armor, right?
The full armor. You got to have the full armor. If you don't have the full armor, those fiery dots going to get to you and tend to creep up in you, and they're going to open up your wounds, and now you're going to start seeking doing things what the haters do.
And what the haters do, and it goes to that seventh point. Misery loves company, right? To your point, they want to pull you right back in to that misery, right?
That's right. They want to pull you into misery, what they got going on. By, you know what I'm saying, this enhancing their self-images of things they doing. That's just whatever they – if people see you doing good, man, they ain't rejoicing with you, they going to want to pull you down because they ain't doing good in the world. And it ain't all about that. It is not.
We're talking to Brother Roosevelt Patterson Jr., and our question of the day is why everyone hates Tebow. And why everybody hates Tim. And so he has to get this new opportunity with the Philadelphia Eagles. And we're going through a series of 10 reasons for Tim Tebow hate, which was published by Linda Mental, BeliefNet.com. And so we walked through a few of those. And so when we come back after our break, we're going to walk through the others. And if you got any questions for Brother Roosevelt, please feel free to call us at 310-861-2331 to ask a question or make a comment. Press 1 on your telephone. We'd love to hear from you, friends. Again, the number is 310-861-2331. This is On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. We'll be right back.
By getting them on cue with God's will, by getting them on cue with His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
How powerful is your leadership? Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on the queue.
I learned more about the heart of leadership than the art of leadership. What Eric Powell does in this session is makes the leader in you come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.
It should be a mandatory part of every church pre-membership class, every school leadership program. I think this curriculum effectively used not only positions a person for better leadership, but positions a person for better life.
With us, you're listening to On Cue. I'm your host, Eric Powell. Remember, our mission here is simple, friends. They have to lead where you are by getting you on cue with God's will. Today's question: what if everybody hates Tim? Helping us with that are our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson Jr. He's a former NFL player himself and also star tackle for Alabama's Crimson Tide and been a part of many championships and many battles, and as well as battles through his own testimony and doubts and as well as through the naysayers, just as Brother Tim Tebow has gone through. So, Brother Roosevelt, thanks for staying with us.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it. It's truly a blessing.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, before the break, we were talking about, we've gone through at least the first seven of the 10 reasons why for the Tim Tebow hate. We're following an article published by Linda Minto of BeliefNet.com. I'm just going to run through them fairly quickly for those who are just chiming in, just to kind of give an update on which ones we've gone through. And the first one was, people who enjoy seeing others fail usually attack others to feel good about themselves. The second was, people are jealous and incredibly insecure. The third, Tim Tebow raises the standard and make others uncomfortable. Fourth, people are intolerant. They don't agree with his pro-life stance and belief in Jesus. Fifth, American media has no problems making fun of Christians. There are few repercussions of this rude and sensitive behavior. Sixth, people are judgmental. And if Tebow's beliefs don't match theirs, they go on the attack. Seventh, one we just spoke about was about misery loves company, and which is so true. And it goes back to your point at the beginning of this, Roosevelt. It's about being positive or negative, right? If you're negative, you're going to want more negativity around you, and positive the same way.
That's
right. Do you agree with that?
Yes, sir. I agree with that.
You know, which it goes back to the point of, you know, through this process, you know, once you can understand that we're not going through judging along the way. And it's not about mistreating. We're just trying to tell you what the word says and a lot of this and how we see someone that we know and everyone understands who's standing on the word and getting another opportunity to pursue his dream. And so how important is that? I just see that the Lord's work manifesting in him. If he doesn't play another snap, he still has the window opportunity to do it again. And so that's just another way to look at things. You know, if we I had a comment on Facebook, and I just wanted to share that with you. And it was kind of like, I just want to get your perspective on it. And it comes to, the comment was, not judging, but those that mock and mistreat and shun doing the same to his Heavenly Father. Tim is most definitely an ambassador of the Lord. We are also ambassadors, just not in the same limelight. We have to stand firm whether we're in front of two people or 200,000. When Tim's working in the Philippines or in the stadium in front of thousands, he is the same. That's a Christian at work. What are your thoughts when you hear that?
Oh, man, I just say, I'm going back to still standing on my belief of what I was talking about, what you do for Christ, I don't understand. And my belief on that, man, he's just doing great things. That's what's in his heart. You know, God, you know, sees everything, you know, for his justice, and he knows our heart. Mm-hmm. But we got to have our, but at the same time, we got to have the right mind frame, too. People who know, hey, I can have a good heart and have a bad mind. Tebow can have a good heart and a bad mind. But as I've been seeing the brother, hey, the Joker's in his right mind. And that's one thing we got to remind ourselves. I got to remind myself at the same, hey, I got a good heart. But at the same time, I got to have the right mind, too, to do things. You know, your mind controls everything. You know what I'm saying? Your heart, you know what I'm saying? Everything for your heart. It just, the vessel just beating the strongest muscles on your body. If a lot of you out there are already listening, that's the strongest muscle. So you want to be healthy. But you also want to be healthy and have a good mind to do things Christ-like. So in my eyes, this man is a believer. And God is just opening doors for him. And if you're listening out there, if only things you do for Christ are going to last, he'll openly reward you before the world. And that's something I believe he's doing for Tim Tebow. You know,
wow.
I can contest to what he's going through and even what I'm going through right here in Mobile. A lot of people said I couldn't do a lot of things because of my federal conviction. But you have to research and know what's right. God has opened the doors for me. You know, people have told me, I mean, you had never worked in the school system. I worked in the school system for 4 years. So don't tell me what my God can't do. He'll put you in places where you need to be to help the younger people and the younger generation that's coming after us, because we know it's more out there now becoming before these kids than when we was back in time or going to school and what we have in this world today. So we have to just really just stay, you know, keep Christ-like in our life. And I applaud, you know, Tim Tebow for what he's doing and what God is doing in his life. But I'm going to say this again. Only what you do for Christ is going to stand.
Only what you do for Christ is going to stand. You know, I'm gonna take a quick detour for a second. I know we got a few more to go, but you put some nuggets in that for me, right? Being told that you can't do something because of your past. You know, how important for us to understand that what we have, your testimony is your purpose. There's nobody can tell your testimony better than you and what Christ done for you and how great it is as a vehicle to impact others. Can you just expound on that for a second? Just let people understand how important it is. No, don't stand in fear, enslaved, yoked by your past or circumstance. The Lord will open those doors for you.
Exactly, because I'm going to tell you from a believer where the yoke was broken for me, whereas, you know, listening to a lot of negative people, being around a lot of negative people. If you have a tendency to stay around a negative, it's going to draw you in right with them. But I separated myself. You see, when you do things for Christ, you got to come out of amongst the ones that really don't believe in Christ and his word. You got to separate yourself. So for as me, I had to separate myself. And the things that I was doing, I had to stay off around negative people, stay off around, you know, negative things I know they're doing, and I couldn't be a part of it because it would draw you in. Because I've been there before. I was drawn into it. So I refuse to get drawn back in a lot of that mess now and stand for Christ. So that goes back to saying what you do for Christ is going to stand. You got to stay around positive people and people of God's wisdom, his word, and having the Holy Spirit, having the right mind, and being a new vessel, being born again. You have to stay around those type of people if you want to succeed on this side of the dirt. You got to, in order to force the doing, you know, love conquer, you know what I'm saying? Love conquers all. You know, it conquers sin. I have the love to go back and to share with these young men, young women. You know, I get it all the time. Even teachers, they help me to come and speak to their class or something that's on a real basis, true story, giving off my heart, and I don't mind sharing what I've been through. Because of these kids, they have a tendency to listen to somebody that done been through something that, you know, hey, I ain't finna listen to Eric. Eric ain't never smoked no dope, did no cocaine, or sold no drug, and I'm in an environment like that, and here you are, you're not in an environment. They're going to listen to Roosevelt. They ain't going to listen to Eric. Eric ain't never been in that type of environment. So that's why I say don't live in fear, because your testimony is going to help break some yokes and help the next vessel come across you that's going through in a storm, is wrestling with something. You're going to tell them how you overcame that obstacle in your life about telling them, hey, you know what I did? I started praying to God. I started being around the right people. I started going to Bible study. I started reading my word. I started fasting. I started praying. And I started, you know, this thing on cue with God.
Amen.
That's the way I made it. And that's the way he's been. I'm preaching to myself. And that's the way he's still doing it for me right today. I have my weakest moment. I have my I have problems. Everybody going to have a problem. Might don't be the same, but it's a problem.
Right.
But when you give it over, when you give it over to God and tell them how you overcame, now you got somebody else listening to, okay, Roosevelt totally depended on God and brought him through all that and what he done, hey, I got an opportunity to do just what he did and even greater. And that's what I share with the people, you know what I'm saying? Even with people that, you know, since I've been out in 2003 and what I've accomplished up until now, man, to God be the glory is what he has done in my life for us with my family and the things that I have to be able to get for us, you know, my wants and my needs, because God supply all my needs and he gives you some of your wants. But you got to be able to stand for Christ.
You got to stand for Christ. You know, with that point, I'm going to skip over a couple, and they're somewhat saying the same thing about misery loves company and haters focus on themselves and so forth. But the dependency on God, this is the next and last one that Ms. Mitchell put in place as on this article. It says, Tebow acknowledges his dependency on God, and where we, the world, prefer self-sufficiency to win the day, depending on self. What's wrong with it? On self.
Self will find you lost. You can't make it in this world. Self will find you. I'm talking about just out there walking in darkness, because we know Jesus is the light of the world. So why would I be with something that's in dark and I could be within the light of the world? No, I can't depend on myself. It's impossible. I can't make it by myself. I got to ask God to help me. Mm-hmm. It's God's will, see tomorrow. It's his will. It ain't my will. It's God's will. It's a time and season for everything. You go in the book of, I think in the book of James, you go to Rican, you know, it's a time to kill. It's a time to die. It's a time to laugh. It's a time to cry. But hey, but in God's will, it ain't in my will. It's God's will. So I, you know, for us, what she talking about, Tim acknowledge his dependence on God. I'm with Tebow. I acknowledge God as my heavenly Father. He's my husband. And I ain't gay by a long shot. I'm just a little, all people know it for us, he's my husband. He's coming back for his bridesmaid, if you read the word.
You read the word, yep.
If you read the word, he's coming back for the bridesmaid. He's the husband. Hey, I'm bridesmaid. Come on, get me there. But I ain't ready to go yet, but I got some cleaning up to do.
Got to find yourself with the right clothes on, right, while you're there, right?
That's right. You got to stay girded up, man. And just,
the point about self-sufficiently, see, someone always asked me, you know, of course I just finished my book, and said, Eric, how do you characterize it? Is this self-help? I said, no, I said, I don't believe in self-help, because there's, to me, is no such thing without improving, without going through things, without being anchored in the Lord. Everything else is for nothing. You can't depend
That's
on
correct.
You to help yourself. I can't get on board with that.
Mm-mm. I can't get on board with that either. There's no way that you can, you know, pretty much, you know, for help yourself. We all need help from above.
Amen.
So we got to totally depend on that, you know, you look to the hill for which you're coming, your help. You know, all our help comes from the Lord. So that's what we got to depend on. Nobody but Jesus for everything we do in life. Don't leave them second. You put them first. So this is how you get rewarded, by putting him first and being obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I believe just been seeing this young man, God has been blessing this young man. We still, you know, we're talking about Tebow, how this man is still, he still had a promising career. He was broadcasting. He was still, you know, making a decent earning living.
But
I want you, everybody, hear this. That wasn't his heart desire. So God opened them doors up back to, okay, I'm gonna give you what your heart desire, Tim. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'm finna make you a ruler over what you want and what you want yourself to do, and what the ability I gave you to get you where you was once was in the NFL. I'm finna put you back in there. Okay, here you go. Boom. Now.
Wow.
Giving this, now he's getting this young man what his heart desire.
Talk
his
about
heart
desires. Help us understand heart's desires, just in the simplest form. You know, that's key. That is so key when we're praying.
That is the key, man. I'm talking about what your heart desire. It goes back to saying what I was saying earlier. God knows our heart. If you don't know your purpose and your plan and what you want to do in life, and like I said, it ain't gonna be easy. It's a task we go through every day, and things that we will tend to grow in wisdom and doing right things for Christ, and you know, for your family man, raising your family, He'll give you what your heart desires. You know, I'm just speaking for as me. I always wanted to go back to school and, you know, be a coach. God opened them doors up, and I won two as a player and one as the offensive line coach. That is special. I've been around a lot of NFL players when I was in the league. Never won anything. So I was truly honored and blessed for these guys. Like, man, you won something. You got rings. I don't have any rings. You know, the only thing I can say I never accomplished was winning a Super Bowl ring. But now I take it, I take my Super Bowl ring and winning with these kids and giving them my testimony. That's my Super Bowl right there. So I didn't get it in NFL. I'm getting this through Christ. So I got a Super Bowl ring to win with Christ. And that's the crown, man. It tells me, hey, well done. You done. You did what I had you to do. You listened to everything I told you to do, my son. And that's a battle we're going to wake up constantly. Like I said, he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. We're going to be tempted. Sometimes we're going to go to the left, but we'll steer back to the right, towards God's, you know, being what's for God going to stand. We just have to repent and ask God to forgive us, because we didn't go to him for all understanding, all confirmation. We didn't go to him. It's a daily thing. We got to repent.
We have to, you know, and it goes back to one of the last points that she brought up here. You're just leading right into it, where, you know, if we're not depending on him, we're lost. And the point she makes is St. Paul reminds us that those who are lost, the gospel offends.
Okay.
Talk about that.
Paul, St. Paul, huh? Okay, but I think he had to remind himself, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He had to remind himself daily. That's right. The thing. We got to remind ourselves, you know. Hey, we're going to be offended by other people that don't believe in the gospel. So, you know, it's like a thorn stuck in our side, some of these things that we can't get rid of. If we didn't have it in our side, we wouldn't go to a higher power to ask him, hold on now, God, you got to help me right here. But if we didn't have that thorn in our side and ask God to remove it, and things in our life that don't mean us, you know what I'm saying, good, hey, he would, you know, that thorn would never been us out. That when yourself come in, okay, I got this. I don't need no God. I don't need nobody. I got this myself. No,
right.
I got to ask God to get this. I got to ask God to remove this pain from me. This was in me like this. I got to, God, please take this out of me. This is not for me. If it will be your will, Lord, remove it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to remind yourself. That's one of the things, you know, I think Tebow, he reminds himself constantly. Hey, I'm a new creature. I'm in Christ Jesus. So I'm just saying for myself, hey, you got to, it's a daily task. It's a daily task that we got to remind ourselves to, hey, I ain't going to be lost. I'm going to stay in Christ Jesus.
Those are the gospel does offend. I haven't shared this with anyone. It's probably going to be a surprise to you, as I tell my family, but I had an experience on yesterday. My youngest daughter and I, we went to a festival called Earth Day here in Dallas at Fair Park. And we were taking a break, we were just walking through, and I just sat down to do something, not particularly sure. And I was sitting by two young ladies and heard one tell the other that she had stage four terminal cancer. There's nothing they could do. There's nothing they can do for her. Mm-hmm. And I just overheard her. And so Lord just led me to it, said, you know, let her know it's going to be all right. You got to make sure she pray. And I didn't know her from anybody else. And that Christ was the way that she needed to make sure that she get connected. And so just had a conversation. You know, she's very cordial, shook my hand, said thank you. But when I walked away, she made a snide remark to the person that was with her. And the gospel offended her. Mm. Even in her toughest time, it offended her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I was just obedient. I usually, you know, I try not to jump in where what I was supposed to be. I just got to let him guide me. But I shared the gospel with her.
Yeah.
And she said a snide remark, and I won't repeat it here. It offended her.
Well, you know what? You know what I'm saying? What I'm going to tell you this. It's up to us. If you have Christ in you, if someone you seeing, you knowing that they was doing wrong, you did in a humble way. And hey, you dust your feet off and kept on going. You did what thus said the Lord. The Lord came up here and told you what to tell her. It's gonna be all right. You get just to turn to you. See that side of I'm saying for us the property of Christ that's really not in us. She probably know of Christ. See, she ain't full committed. She wasn't fully committed and for us knowing that God heal all diseases. He paid the price on the cross for all of us. He paid that price already for us. So anything we call in Jesus' name, hey, we'll heal. We'll heal. We are healed. Anything that we call in Jesus' name and say amen, we are healed. Just believe it. We are healed. I'm a firm believer of that. Anything that I speak and I'm agreeing and ask God which way I should go, which way I should do, and seal it with amen, I always be put in the right place at the right time. Now, see, you just did what was on your heart and what God spoke to you and led you over to the young lady. But like you said, some people, yeah, the gospel is going to offend some people because somewhere along the way, somebody in her lifespan was, I can say probably she saw fit was God was in them, and they did something totally wrong, and she took it, you know what I'm saying, another way. Oh, he's supposed to be God. Like, he told me this. And we can, you know, we can be offended of some people that beat her down and do, how can I say, I'm saying as far as when somebody is doing something for Christ and staying, and then soon you leave out, they doing something wrong. She probably saw that.
Yep.
And it offended her. And some people, that's why some people, you know, you be in some churches where some people take that and be bruised. But you got to go and study for your own self. He says, you got to study for your own self. So show yourself approved. Working to God need to be a saying work between what I'm saying, the right divine word of truth. You know what I mean? So that's probably what offended her. Something in her past was somebody was in church, Christ, and they did something and she took that offensive. And she said, they're supposed to be, and they scarred her for the rest of her life. Now, somebody going to come along the way and tell her, hey, it's okay. You know, we make some mistakes.
Yep.
Everybody make mistakes in life.
Absolutely.
That's why it's so important. That's why it's so important you have to study for your one self. I can't get into heaven and just because Eric told me, it's all good. Come on. It's good. Hey, I used to hear
in
my
your own mouth, right?
Your own one self. Every tub got its bottom. Everybody got to sit on their own bottom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every tub got its bottom. Yeah, what the old folks, what they say, every tub got its bottom. Now you got to sit on it for your one self. So my thing is with that, Eric, man, is just, you know, the gospel's offend a lot of people, man, because they've been so scorned in some churches, and they stuck in, the same old, the same old.
The idol, right? The idol.
In a sense, stuck, man, and you got to do things God way, not your way.
Amen to that. You know, brother, time is flowing.
Man, I know.
We talked about Tim Tebow here, why everybody hates Tim. And at the end of the day, you know, Tebow is standing on the word, right? He is standing on the word as far as we can see, and I believe it. Not only just see it, but I believe that he is in all his actions. And this article, those 10 points, were absolutely timely and so true in so many different ways. You know, as we close out, Brother Roosevelt, how do people find you and support your efforts?
Well, coming from growing up in Pritchett, Alabama, and, you know, being here in the city of really Mobile, Alabama, and I have a lot of great people know that I'm a respectable guy. I thank God for my mom and dad raising me to be respectful to others. And I get welcome arms every, it's daily, man. I run across somebody that, you know, kind of enlighten me, kind of let me know it's going to be all right for me. If some encouragement word I need to hear, you know, at the same time of what I'm doing and what I'm standing for and the things that I do in the community to help the kids and for whoever I come across and tell them about my past and let them know how God changed all that and turned it around for his good and not my good. So my thing to people that's out there, if anything that you're going through, don't dwell on what's in the rearview mirror that you already done came from behind. Just know that it's a rearview mirror, and that big front window shield that the rearview mirror sticks up, that's your picture in front. So keep pushing forward. That's one of the things I do. I keep pushing forward the things that God will allow me to do daily to impact somebody, to help somebody hear my story and how I've been successful and still doing good. And, hey, and to stay on cue with God. That's it, bro. That's the only thing I can say more than the coming up. Come in different communities that I go to and people that I talk to. So it's a great thing. I love doing it, and I get I can say for us myself it's a great testimony for us my life. It's a great feeling to get things off of me to help somebody else to break the yoke, to break those chains that people been bound down to. And to help break those demonic spirits, because that's what we face daily. So my thing to people that are out there listening, stay on cue with God, keep them first. Hey, receive the Holy Ghost and let God lead you, and the Holy Ghost will teach you the right way to treat people and the right way to live.
Hey, amen. You know, we're going to touch and agree on that. I was going to ask you what we're going to be a prayer with you about. I believe that was the prayer. That was the prayer.
Yeah,
for others,
amen,
to get on cue with the Lord's will.
That's right. Amen, bro.
Amen, amen. Hey, well, thanks for joining us once again. We got to come back. I love having you on. I even love the conversation we have in between this time. And anytime you got something on your heart or your spirit you want to come on and talk about, let's do it as well. And I know we got some things coming up hopefully really soon so we can partner up on. So thank you. Thank you, brother, for joining us. Been a blessing.
Thank you for having me on, Eric, man. You be blessed, and may you continue to share the things, the goodness of your heart, and to help people, you know, to break the yokes of strongholds that were holding, binding people down, man, and to keep doing what you're doing and keep God first and bless you and your family. Much love. Give everybody a hug for me.
Will do. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Oh.
That was Roosevelt Patterson Jr., former NFL tackle and as well as Crimson Tide, great, who's making an impact in so many different ways, using his testimony as an instrument, as a vessel to move God's word to so many different people. Our question of the day was really, why does everybody hate Tim? Maybe because of his failures as a prototypical NFL quarterback or his field recognition, can't see the field quick enough, his slow release, inaccuracy, arm strength, stance, footwork, and even more so, I think, a lack of apologies for loving Jesus. You know, he may, and even given to what we've heard and seen, he made a lot of promises. And I can say that he made a popular one some years ago when he promised Gator Nation that no one worked harder than him. And I imagine he made that same promise to God and each and every day. But when I see Tim Tebow in uniform, I see a football player, but also I see something else. We must all see in our own mirror, and we hit on it earlier today in the show, was the full armor of God. Standing firm then in the belt of truth, buckled around your waist, breastplate of righteousness, the feet firm in the gospel, taking up the shield of faith, and even having the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is all of the Word of God, standing firm. And I used to wear this T-shirt under my uniform in college games starting in the middle of my freshman year, believing I can do almost anything, as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things Christ who strengthens me. But here's someone, Tim Tebow, we think, really who truly walks this. But here's someone that we're not suggesting to make him some out of some sort of God or so forth. It's just acknowledging that he is a man of God. We can make fun, we can criticize, whatever, but please recognize an anointed one when you see one. I don't know Tim Tebow personally, but I venture to say that exemplifies what our series is about. Greater is he, based in 1 John 4:4. In earnest, he exemplifies that. And it says, greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Please don't criticize because he loves Jesus, which is really the real reason, I think. But be mindful in verse 3, though, where in verse 3 of 1 John 4 shares, but every spirit does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God, and the spirit of the Antichrist, and what you have heard is coming, even now already in the world. And I think some of these things, those individuals that you just don't like him as a quarterback, fine. But if you don't like him because of Christ, we have to make sure we watch ourselves when you get to this. So if that's you or me, you know, verse 2 or 6 tells us how to recognize it, even test it to see if we have that spirit. And in the first part of it, if you or I don't acknowledge that, acknowledge Jesus. The second one, speak from a worldly view where others think are not in support of your calling and so forth. And so that's what we see. You speak in that worldly view against him because of his belief. And then thirdly, if the world's listening to you, if you go and create this I hate Tebow Facebook, if it's really based upon because of his belief system. This is how we recognize these types of spirits. But if you hate him or hate Jesus or whatever the case is, let us be careful not hating and speaking about the Holy Spirit, though, that lives in him and others. Jesus tells us what is the result of that in Mark 3:28-29. He said, truly I tell you, people who can be forgiven for all their sins, even slanders they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of eternal sin. Hate him. Don't hate. Don't talk against. Plot against. Write against. Tweet against. Blog against. Holy Spirit. And we'll be all good. So thank you for joining us tonight. If you live, Lord, spare, we'll see you next week. And Kennedy's going to close us out.
Before we go, we thank our special guest, Roosevelt Patterson Jr. We thank you for tuning in. We hope that our ministry helps you get on cue with the Lord. I have an ask for all of you. Put us on your prayer list. Like us on Facebook at On Cue Radio and follow us on Twitter at Cue Leadership. And invite a friend to listen to this show and to next week's show. If you are a leader in the church, on the field, at work, at home, in the community, or anywhere, consider us to enhance your leadership. For more information, go to our website, www.qleadership.org or .com. If you would like to be a sponsor, please email us at onq@qleadership.com. Also, buy my dad's book, The Leader in the Mirror, released on February 5th. We give all honor and praise to Christ our Savior. I'm sure my dad thanks his producer assistant, me, his better half, best friend, and wife, my mom, my little sister, Carson, all of our family, friends, and life, and on Facebook. We dedicate this show to the earthquake victims in Nepal. This has been On Cue Radio. Until next week, get on cue with God's will, get on cue with God's calling in your life, and get others on cue with that calling.
How do you lead a people who are starved, who are broken, who are isolated?
You lead them where they are by getting them on cue for God's will, by getting them on cue for His calling on their lives. Let us help you get on cue.
Powerful is your leadership. Do people trust you? Would people follow you if you were not their boss, not their parent, not their sibling, not their commanding officer? Let us help you get on cue.
little about the heart of leadership and the art of leadership. What their power does is making sure their opinions come alive.
Do you know God has called you? Do you know your purpose? Let us help you get on cue.